Aus Matthäus 13,
from Matthew 13.
Matthäus 13,
Matthew 13 from verse 10, some verses. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Up to here, this wonderful and precious word of God. To me personally, this word became great. I looked it up in Isaiah, these words that Isaiah prophesied in chapter 6. It says from verse 9, but maybe read from verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell these people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Even if only a tenth of the people remain in the land, it will again be destroyed and eaten as a tale tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Up to here, this wonderful and precious word of God. I think when the saying of Almighty God has been fulfilled in the first part and in the time of our Lord. It has been fulfilled. I think then the second part will also be fulfilled. For here this prophet asks, how long, O Lord? And then comes the answer here, the last part. Well, I can't put it together. I can't say when it will be fulfilled. But perhaps one part has already been fulfilled. And perhaps the last part of this prophecy will still be fulfilled. For God Almighty does not speak in vain. He doesn't speak like a man. But we see that everything that was prophesied through the prophets has been fulfilled. And we see that already in the days of our Lord, these mighty words were fulfilled. And we see that He proclaimed it in those days. And I had to think about it. And I had to say, the words of our Lord are the same, the ones that they were in those days, also in our days. And I have to say, He spoke the same words to the people in those days. He speaks the same words in our days. And I had to think about it. If in those days what He spoke remained hidden from people, I could only conclude that in our days too, the mystery of God, which He revealed to His elect, remains hidden from people. Many of them hear and hear and see and yet cannot understand or perceive. I have read in the sermons of Brother Branham, and there have been men present who have seen great things with their own eyes and have perceived that God is present, but they could not understand and they could not see. And so I had to think of this word. It is the same in our days. And the prophet Isaiah said, they will hear and not understand. They will see, and yet they will not receive it. We must ask ourselves, is it not the same in our day? It is the same. But brothers and sisters, I rejoiced very much about the saying of our Lord when He said here, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That made me so happy. And I had to say, O God, it is not by merit that it has been given to me. It is only grace, and again grace. It is only your mercy that you have spoken to us, that you have opened my understanding, and that you opened my eyes and my ears, that I could hear and that I may believe you. All this has been granted to me by grace. O Lord, I have thought, I cannot but praise your name and exalt you. I can only thank you for opening my eyes and my ears and my understanding. And then he goes on to say here, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Oh, then one can only say, what grace has been granted to me and to you. Brothers and sisters, is it not grace? It is only grace. And what can we do? We can only praise the grace. We can only give glory to our Lord and bring worship for all the grace He has bestowed upon us. In this last and evil time, in this crooked time, if you want to say so. But tonight, let us praise Him, Let us lift up his name anew, for he is our Lord, he is our Savior, he has helped us in the day of salvation, and therefore let us now stand and worship him. We thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you, O Lord, for these hours of grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened our eyes, that you have opened my eyes. Lord, I thank you that you have taken away all our guilt and sin, that you have cleansed us from all spots, from all wrinkles. Lord, you have shed your blood for us. Therefore, we also come tonight, bowing low under your cross, and give you thanks, O Lord, for all that you have done for us, that you have done for me, Lord. O Lord, you also know the times in which we live. Lord, we know that everything must be fulfilled, what your holy mouth has spoken, even with your people Israel. O Lord, grant grace to your people. Help them in this last time, in these last hours, that they may pass their test, that you may lead your people out. Lord, we pray also for us. Be merciful to us in these last hours of trial in which we still dwell here on this earth. For soon you will take us into your kingdom, into your glory. Lord, we wait hour by hour, day by day, Lord. But Lord, we know we do not wait in vain. For we know, Lord, your word comes true. Your word is yes and amen. Lord, receive the thanks from my heart and from my mouth. Also in this evening hour, bless as we prayed all your people everywhere, in all places, and also here in this place is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord for the wonderful word we have already heard. The thoughts run through your heart. Esau had got rid of his birthright. Jacob had received it. He was blessed by God. He went out and came back rich. And because he submitted, even Esau wept with him. He put his arms around him. And it was certainly very strange to both of them. The lesson we learn from this is that all whom God blesses and who have received the birthright submit to all others. They do not look down on them. They submit before God and before men and bear a deep gratitude in their heart, even towards those who somehow no longer have their birthright, just as they bear it towards God. It is just so ordained of the Lord. And it is Brother Branham who says in one place, the elect cannot hate the elect. Somehow it has to rub off what God has become to us, what we have received, what he has given us. It is a story that goes to the heart of all of us. Jacob, a man blessed by God, he could have said, what do I want there anyway? And what do I want from Esau? Why am I going there? And yet the leadings of God are such that in our hearts we would go to everyone and put our hand, our arms around everyone. And that one thing we must also emphasize, as here Esau and Jacob, they embraced, fell around each other's necks. That's what it says here, and kissed each other, and both wept. You know, people who have experienced God who have tasted the grace of God, they can't help but put their arms around each other. They know exactly that everything is ordered and guided by God, rich or poor, blessed or unblessed, chosen, not chosen, whatever. Everything is ordained by God. And they respect God's order, submit under it, and fall around each other's necks. They weep and are grateful to their God and Lord, each for the way he has been led. When we read later in the prophet Isaiah, right where Esau had to go, from there it says, Watchman of Seir, what time is it in the night? Right there, you can look it up. You will find it offhand in the prophet Isaiah, the well-known word. We will not go into it tonight. But it is strange how God's ways are sometimes, that we just stand there in amazement. Isaiah 21, verse 11, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? There, where Esau was sent by God, where he had to go, from there they call out to the prophet, watchman, what time is it at night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. God has his way in everything, and his ways are inscrutable and incomprehensible to us. That is why Paul writes to the Romans, how incomprehensible are your judgments and unsearchable your ways. That is how we see it here too, in this event with Esau and Jacob. For us, inscrutable. But directly above, I see chapter 32, which we recently dealt with briefly here on a Sunday morning, and how the Lord then gave us this message and this promise through the singing in tongues, that even when we are limping in the body, God has given us grace, and we will behold His glory. That was a wonderful event for us, for me, for all of us. And Jacob, who walked away limping, he had an experience that no one could take away from him. His hip hurt, but he went his way with his God, who had become his help. When we think about all these things, then we know God is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is what He is. The God who gives promises, who gives blessings, who led and guided His servants, who was with them and still is today. If we take a closer look at the word from the prophet Isaiah that we heard in the word of introduction, then it also goes to our hearts. Where would there be a word that would not go to our hearts? It has been read from chapter 6, from verse 8. But even before that, in verse 5, the prophet exclaims, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Who is it that comes into the presence of God and does not realize that he is dust, that he is nothing, not worthy to lift up his eyes, not worthy to open his mouth, let alone receive with his heart what God can give. Then it says in verse 7, and he laid it, this live coal, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. There where God answers with this fire from the altar and gives his Spirit, there is confirmation from God that our iniquity is blotted out and our sin is forgiven. Before I came here, I just read from John at the beginning, and Brother Rus has already emphasized that everything is grace. And here it says in John chapter 1, verse 16, also an ancient and well-known precious word, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful word. Both were necessary, the law to convict us, to condemn us, to put us in prison, and grace to set us free, to let us out, to bring us back to God. Everything has its place after all, and you and I too, we have our place in the kingdom of God. We live in a time, and also this, my beloved brother, has emphasized, many have seen the work of God. And whoever will read the new circular letter, maybe I should say this here by way of explanation, he will perhaps read some things in it and not quite know which way the wind is blowing. But whoever knows about the great Congress in Berlin, and of those notable men who will be there, Shekarian, Duplessis, and who they all may be, they are men who have seen the work of God in this time like no other. Duplessis, an unknown man of the Pentecostal mission in South Africa, he saw in Durban, he saw in Cape Town, and in various places, in Pretoria, everywhere, the mighty things. And after seeing these mighty things, he decided to move over to America and followed Brother Branham's foot in all the meetings where he went. And those who know Brother Branham's sermons know that Duplessis sometimes spoke in the afternoon meetings and Brother Branham spoke in the evening. And then those who read on notice and hear Brother Branham say, this man is my friend. And he doesn't know that he's leading the Pentecostal people and everybody else into a trap that they are not going to get out of. What could he change? What did the signs and wonders do to this man? They produced an enthusiasm and practically opened the doors for him to the highest and loftiest. And the success or the result is that everything is brought into a Pentecostal frenzy. And whoever experiences that, that is indeed fabulous. We cannot produce that here. We cannot show what these people have to show. But if we take a closer look at the matter, then we have to say, the lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have been given a goodly heritage. We don't want to judge anyone. We have no more time for that. And we don't want to. These people too, I would embrace again at any time. They are all people with whom one sat on the platform together, preached in the same meeting, and whom I also know. And you would give anything to help them, and especially Brother Shekarian, who like no other, after Brother Price went home, whom he also knew, a man of God, just like Wigglesworth, vindicated with great signs and wonders, but without that gift that Brother Branham had, without that sign of the Messiah. But it was this very man who had seen so much. When he saw more, he accepted more and stood by none as he stood by Brother Branham. Today it all seems to have been in vain, and yet not in vain. Somehow, and our brother expressed it, the seed of God is on this earth. It is there, somewhere it is. When the sun, the light, strikes it, then it comes forth and brings forth fruit for the glory of God. What we have noticed here in the word of prophecy, that's the thought with the eyes, and shut their eyes, lest they see. If you read Revelation 3:18, you will notice that it says just the opposite. Anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. At what time? Why? When God reveals His word and makes His will known, I counsel thee to buy of me gold and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Here they should shut their eyes so that they don't see. But then when the word is revealed in the church age at Laodicea, we are to put eye salve on our eyes so that we can see. Why? Because the time is here when God's word will be fulfilled. And that in those who are destined to see and hear. What a word! The first message this prophet must bring is an announcement of judgment. Go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And then the question, how long until the land be utterly desolate, until judgment has come over them? And then comes the time, after the judgment comes the time, that he has a seed left, a root shoot, a rhizome, from which new things will come forth again. Zephaniah said that very clearly in chapter 3. It says in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The remnant shall trust in the name of the Lord. In what can we put our trust? Most certainly only in the Lord, in His word, in His grace, in the power of His blood, of His word, and of His spirit, on the power of His name, we can put our trust. And then the word in the New Testament, it's indeed a great privilege when the Lord can say to His own in Matthew 13, but to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to hear and to see what God has promised by the mouth of the prophets, what he has spoken. We have all read it along. Matthew 13 from verse 16. But blessed are your eyes. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Today, these words go out to you and to me. Today, they go forth to us. But blessed are your eyes. After the Lord refers to the word of the prophet Isaiah and answers the question to his disciples, for it is written, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Here he was speaking to the people, not to the disciples. And then it says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let me say it directly. All who are destined to be in heaven are destined to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, for they are destined for them. That's how it is, and not otherwise. And here it says, he answered, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. The other gospel writer says, what he thinks he has. God does not take away anything that he has given. But that could happen to us. As Brother Branham also says, that justification, sanctification, baptism in the Spirit, everything, one will entail the other. Otherwise, it may happen to us that the one will not help us if the other and the third cannot follow. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever is destined to be in heaven, that what has to do with the kingdom of heaven and what God has spoken and what he has revealed, it will be manifested in his heart. It will be made known to him. There is no other way. Whoever is not destined to behold the glory of God, it will pass him by. He will hear the parables and interpret them and understand nothing. But he who is destined will understand. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And then this statement, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The prophets, the old men of God, prophesied of the grace that would come upon us through Christ, prophesied of the coming of the Messiah, but have passed away, have not seen the day. They no longer had the time to see and hear all this. A prophet Isaiah and all the other prophets who prophesied have gone home without seeing, without hearing all that they prophesied. And the Lord says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. It was the time of the fulfillment of the scriptures in that generation. Today the Lord speaks to us. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May this penetrate also in our hearts. I just thought very briefly about the prayer in Luke 11, and with that we come to a close and go into prayer. In Luke 11, we read from verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They heard the Lord preach. They were, after all, with him. But they had only one wish. Teach us to pray, Lord. After they heard and saw him pray, there was only one desire in them. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We are here tonight to pray and want to make the same request and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach me to pray, Lord. And it is a strange example that the Lord sets forth in connection with prayer here. And it says from verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And now the Lord says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, this man who is in need in the night, who needs help, who wants to entertain the one who visited him, he does not just knock once and hears, I don't have time, but he knocks and he knocks until he has not only a verbal answer, which would be dismissive, but a direct answer until he has the thing he asks for in his hands and can go home. The man does not go home because he is told, don't bother me anymore. No, he stays there at the door and knocks. He is not interested in whether the man has gone to bed, whether his children are in bed, whether the door is locked. He stays there and he knocks until he gets what he needs and what he asks for. And only then does he go home. And here is the word persistence. Sometimes we are stubborn where we shouldn't be, and we don't give in. But here we are to be stubborn and not give in, not to give up, but to stay and knock. And then the Lord himself gives the answer in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. As already said, the Lord uses an earthly example, a case of one coming to another and asking him for something. He speaks of persistence, of remaining persistent, of not being turned away, but of waiting to receive what he has asked for. And then he says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. I will have to see if there is a comma here. I would have preferred it to be after the so. Ask so, in this way, as this man there. Ask in this way. Don't take no for an answer or think it's inconvenient, but if you have the courage to knock, have the courage to wait until the thing is in your hands, until you can take it. I ask myself, have I understood how to pray? Do I know what praying means? When the Lord is asked here and is urged, and one says, Lord, teach us to pray. And he then gives the example of this man who goes to his friend at night and is not satisfied until he has received what he asks for. It does not matter if he thinks it is inconvenient. Let me say here, God does not sleep. Whether day or night, we can come to him, and we have the promise, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. This is what we want to have in our hearts today in this prayer meeting. And when we pray, include that and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And not just praying with words and teach. He gives a practical example of what it means to pray properly, namely, not to go home empty-handed, but to persevere, to pray through, to knock until it is opened. And it says, whoever asks will be given, and he who seeks will find. To him he knocks, it will be opened. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And so forth. God gives what we ask him for. This man asked for bread. He needed bread. Do you think the other would have come out with any other thing? If he comes out to give something, he must come out with the bread that is asked for. Another thing would not have satisfied him, because he was not in need of another thing. He needed bread. He asked for bread. What do you need today? What do I need? What do you come with? What do I come before the Lord with today? What do we have to say to him? What will we insist upon? We knock until you open, until you answer, until you give what we need. And if we believe this example, take it to heart, and unite in prayer in the name of the Lord, then it cannot be otherwise than that God answers us. For verily, we have much reason and cause to thank him with all our heart, to worship him. Some prayers he has already answered. Other requests are very difficult. And the other intercessions that we have here, we also want to bring before the face of God. No matter where our brothers, where our sisters are, we want to remember them. The Lord has a remnant with whom he will walk the path to the end. And for this, may he give grace to you and to me and to many others, that we fix our eyes on him and go forward in faith. And even we go through the deepest depths, Our way leads up into the glory of God. How many times Brother Branham has said it? The way up leads first down. It leads through the deepness, so that when you reach the heights, you can appreciate it. So may God bless and be with us. May He turn curse into blessing and make all things well in all His children to the glory and praise of His holy name. Amen.